2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him loving kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel. And I hope I said that right. That's close as I can get it. From Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat the bread of my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah or Micaiah, ever had he want to pronounce that. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. You know, we have here a most wonderful and beautiful story, but I want to kind of take a spiritual look at it, and I want to preach this afternoon on an Old Testament picture of the doctrines of grace. An Old Testament picture of the doctrines of grace. We see the grace of God, that it can be tracked all the way through the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, what God is doing for man that man cannot do for himself. There is truly a scarlet thread, as some have said, that runs through the Bible, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that it can save sinners from their sin. We can see all the way through the Scripture the working of a holy God to bring forth His Son and to redeem the fallen race. And we have here before us today, and I want to just go back through these verses and make a spiritual application. If you can't read this chapter and see all the pictures of the doctrines of grace, then you're just not looking very hard, because they're all there. But I'm going to help you dig them out a little bit. And I tell you what, now I preached this sermon Friday on the mail route. So I've already preached it once, and I had a real good time just going down the road, just going through it. I know people think I'm crazy. Probably they'll think who I'm talking to. But I was just talking to the Lord, enjoying the presence of God. You know, people say, you won't have much public worship until you have some private worship. I've had some good times, just me and the Lord, rejoicing and praising Him for what He's done for me. You say, "Well, preacher, do you not worry about people thinking you're crazy?" No, I don't. I don't worry about that. When it's just me and the Lord and I'm worshiping Him, I shut out everybody else's opinion, just praise Him. So the first thing I want to look at here in an Old Testament picture of the doctrines of grace, in verse 1, the Bible said, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may," what? "Show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." The first thing I want to look at is the covenant between David, which I believe could represent God the Father, and Jonathan, which could represent God the Son. See, David did what he did for Mephibosheth. It wasn't for Mephibosheth. It was to honor that covenant that he had made with Jonathan. We can look back in 2 Samuel. Look back in 2 Samuel chapter 20, or excuse me, 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 11. I want to look at the covenant that was made between David and Jonathan. It was made several years even before that Mephibosheth was even born. This covenant was made. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 11. "And Jonathan said unto David, Come, and let us go into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father." Verse 14 said, "And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness," what? This is Jonathan talking, "from my house forever. Not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." We see here that there was a covenant made between Jonathan and David even before Mephibosheth was ever born. And that covenant was there that no matter what happened, that David would show mercy to Jonathan, and not only Jonathan, but all of his house. I see there that the covenant was made, and this kindness was not on the behalf of Mephibosheth, but it was made to honor the covenant that he had made with his father, Jonathan. Amen. We see that this covenant provided help and protection to Mephibosheth before he was ever born. And I won't say in like manner that God the Father and God the Son made a covenant before the foundation of the world, that He would make a covenant, that He would save His people from their sin. And I thank God for that. See, before we were ever born, before the foundation of the world, there was a covenant. You say, "Well, preacher, how do you know there was a covenant between God the Father and God the Son?" Well, I want to know, who else was it? And the Bible tells us that He saved us for Christ's sake. The more I see about this, the more I see that the salvation of my soul, it's not as much to do with me, though it's extended to me. It's about God the Father and about God the Son. And that before the foundation of the world, there was a covenant made on my behalf, that God loved me that much that He would do that for me. It overwhelms me, and it makes me rejoice in my soul that God saved me and He made that covenant with Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Look over here. Now see that verse said, see David, he after all these battles and all these fights and wars, he settled everything down. He said, "Hey," he said, "I remember that covenant I made with Jonathan. Is there anybody?" He said, "I want to show him favor for Jonathan's sake." What's the Bible say in Ephesians 4:32? "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm saved today because God did it for Christ's sake. You know, you could use the example. You say, "Well, I hope for so-and-so's sake this happens. See, the Lord didn't save me because there was anything good in me. Mephibosheth, David didn't have any good thing. He didn't say that I want to go help Mephibosheth for him. But no, I want to honor that covenant that I made with Jonathan. And I'm glad when the Lord came to me and saved me by His grace that He was honoring that covenant that He had made before the foundation of the world with Jesus Christ, that He would, all that the Father give me will come unto me. Amen. And I'll in no wise cast them out. Hallelujah, amen for that. I'm telling you, I see a picture of grace right here. I see a picture of grace. Ephesians chapter 1. We can turn right over there to Ephesians 1. I'm looking at the covenant that was made between David and Jonathan. But it's also a picture of God the Father and God the Son. It was made before Mephibosheth was even born. And our covenant, the covenant that was made, that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, was made before anything, before Genesis 1:1, somewhere back yonder somewhere, the covenant was made. And I tell you what, God doesn't make one covenant that He breaks on.
That's right.
He will come through. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us, determined beforehand, not that He looked down and saw who would reject Him and who wouldn't. If God looked down to see who would reject Him, He saw every one of us would reject Him.
Amen.
You do always resist the Holy Ghost, and you always will resist Him until He makes you willing in the day of His power. But the covenant was made, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Somebody said that doctrine of election will make you get dead. I don't know how a man could preach on predestination and it dry him out. It ought to give him some zeal and some fire. I'm telling you, the covenant was made with God the Father and God the Son. He said the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Mephibosheth didn't always have the inheritance, but it was always promised to him because of the covenant.
Amen.
I don't believe that the elect of God were always saved. You're not saved till God saves you, but the covenant is there in place, and when God extends it to you, it's made for real in your life. But the covenant was there, and having been predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Thank God for that. In verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. When? After that ye heard the word of truth. See, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that we are elected unto salvation. See, in the very context of the Scripture, election took place. You're elected before you're saved. Election's not salvation, but it is unto salvation. Because it doesn't matter if you are a part of the covenant or not, we are all born equally dead in trespasses and sin. And Mephibosheth was in that shape physically, but spiritually we were there. But he said, after being predestinated, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. When? After that ye heard the word of truth. You've got to hear the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, what comes next? Then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, the down payment, an earnest is a down payment. God sealed us with His Spirit. He's bought us. See, our glorification is as sure as you're breathing here. If you're saved today, you will be glorified one day because it is sealed. The earnest is there of the Spirit in your soul and life. This shows that we are elected before we're saved. Mephibosheth was not saved physically now until David took him out of his house, but he was chosen unto it by the covenant. The covenant assured that one day Mephibosheth would be delivered and that God, that David would show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And that covenant that God made on our behalf, it was on our behalf, but it was for Jesus' sake that He did it. That covenant is a great thing to know that was there before the foundation of the world. The Bible said in the book of John, let's look there real quick, the book of John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Mephibosheth did not choose David or ask for David to come to where he was. And that's the same way it is with us. The Lord chose me. I never chose Him. I saw a pagan church sign, and it is pagan. It said, try Jesus. And if you don't like Him, you can just give Him back. That's heresy out of the pit. I'm telling you, you don't try it and leave it, try it and leave it. No, there's a covenant that was made for you before the foundation of the world, and that God, when He comes and convicts you of your sin, that's just showing that the covenant was there for you and that He's going to bring you to salvation through repentance and faith. I thank God for that. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation, chapter 17, verse 8, that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I tell you how strong I believe that. Don't y'all think I'm crazy if when I say this. I believe my name was already chosen before Mom and Daddy give it to me.
Right.
You say, boy, that's a little out there. Oh, no. It's right in the Bible's where it's at. Chad Johnson's name was in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Those of you that are here and are saved, your name was there. And those of you, thank God, that are here that God's going to save one day, your name was there too. That covenant was made. It was there. It was written in the blood of Jesus Christ. That covenant was there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's right. The redeemed don't just happen that their mom and dad just happens to pick out this name and God's got to go in there with His eraser and say, oh man, I'm got to put their, what mom, no. That name was already there. Ain't that good? Mephibosheth benefited from the covenant before he was ever born. Let's go back over there. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Second thing I want to look at is not only the covenant that was made, but I want to look at the fall of Mephibosheth. See, the Bible said that 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called unto him, called him unto David the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto him, unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Mephibosheth was a crippled. 2 Samuel chapter 4. Turn over there real quick, just a few pages back in verse 4. I want to look at the fall of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth fell, and he was lame and crippled. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. And now the Bible tells us how he got that way. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. That's when Saul and David were killed in the battle. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee, underline it, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. He was crippled from a fall. When he was 5 years old, the news of Saul and Jonathan's death came. As the word came, the nurse picked him up or jumped up and grabbed him and said, let's get out of here. And something happened and Mephibosheth fell and he hurt both of his feet. He was lame on both of his feet and he became crippled. The Bible tells us that in Adam all fell. We all died in Adam. And I won't say that Mephibosheth fell and he was crippled from that fall. In Genesis 3, 6 and 7, we see the account of the fall of man. And when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit and disobeyed God, and they disobeyed Him in their heart first and then in their actions, men fell into sin and we became like Mephibosheth. We were crippled from the fall. Mephibosheth was crippled on both of his feet. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense, that's the fall, of one judgment came upon all men, what? To condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. We see the Bible says that in Adam we all fell. We were crippled from the fall. Adam, everybody that has ever descended from Adam was crippled by the fall. You say, well, preacher, I'm not that bad of a person. No, if you're here and not saved, you are a spiritual crippled. You have been crippled by the fall. It has plagued every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born. You're like Mephibosheth. You're crippled and you can't do anything because, Brother Duke, another great picture of this, if he was crippled on just one foot, he could still
drag along.
But he's crippled on both of them. He can't go nowhere.
Right. Amen.
That's where you are at today, sinner. You might be, as far as the world's concerned, a pretty good person. But spiritually, you're crippled, and not on just one foot. You're crippled from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. Your whole being is crippled.
Amen.
You're lame on your feet. You're just like Mephibosheth was physically in your spiritual condition. So not only the covenant that was made between David and Jonathan, and we saw that Mephibosheth fell and was crippled from the fall. Thirdly, I want to look, let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3 through 5. I want to look at Mephibosheth's inability to go to David. See, David sent the servants to go get Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ahimelel, in Lodibar. And the king, and then King David sent and fetched him out of the house. We see that Mephibosheth was humanly, and it was impossible, he was unable to get to David. He couldn't go to the palace. Thank God the palace came to him. Oh yes, I see there that man has an inability to come to God until God first comes to him. He could not come to David, but David sent his servants, what, to fetch him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. I thought no doubt as David sent his royal chariots and all of his men down there to get Mephibosheth, and they rode up into the town, Mephibosheth was probably sitting or laying because he couldn't walk. He was doing one or the other. And I mean, the dust was stirred up and they were rolling into town. And I'm sure people was looking out the window and on the street saying, man, why is the king and all this royal band coming down here? And they pull up in the front of Mephibosheth's house. And if he had, I'm sure he had to have somebody there helping him if he was lame. And they come in and said, sir, said Mephibosheth, I just want to tell you, the king and all his chariots, or some of his chariots have rolled up outside in front of the house and they're getting out and looks like they're coming in here. And I'm sure Mephibosheth thought, oh man, I remember how David and my grandpa Saul had such problems. Surely he's coming to get rid of me too. He's coming to just cut my head off and be done with the whole lineage of Saul. And the servant comes in. Mephibosheth was no doubt trembling and scared to death. He didn't know what was going to happen. And I think about that's a picture of when God starts that work of salvation and conviction. I remember the fear and the trembling and the condemnation that was in my soul, because I knew that a holy God was dealing with me, but I just didn't know for sure what He was going to do with me when He first started. But I tell you what, that servant went in there and they went into the house and there he lay. They went over and picked Mephibosheth up, walked him out the front door, put him in the chariot and started toward the king's palace. I see the working of salvation. I don't believe in a progressive salvation, but I do believe that there is some things that are there. There's the hearing of the Word, the conviction of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit. And I was in such terror and fear before the Lord saved me. I see that in Mephibosheth as he's making that chariot ride. He don't know what's going to happen to him yet, Brother Duke. He doesn't have no idea. But he's surely thinking the worst. He's surely thinking the worst. I tell you, that's where we were when the Lord was dealing with us in conviction. We were at the mercy of a sovereign God. And I'm glad, thank God, that when the Lord saved me by His grace, that the fear and the lack of peace and the trembling and the uncertainty, that He rolled my burdens away. Thank God He rolled my sins away. And then the peace and joy that now floods my soul, it's been replaced when the Lord started that good work. And I tell you, I was trembling. But when He got done, I was forgiven. My sins had been washed in that fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I'm thankful that God did that for me. See, Mephibosheth couldn't do anything. He was bound to just let the servant take him. He couldn't run. He couldn't go anywhere. And they roll up in front of the king's palace. I want to look next at the everlasting power of the covenant. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 6. The chariot rides over. And now he's coming before the king. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. That's why I know that this modern day church of blowing your bubble gum, coming down the aisle and having a puppet show and a clown ministry, and people being saved that way, that's a bunch of junk. When the Lord does that work of salvation, He breaks us. He humbles us. We're broken over our sin. And you don't come to the Lord strutting like a peacock. You come broken over your sin, or you don't come at all. And Mephibosheth, he fell on his face. And I thank God for the day that I fell on my face and cried for mercy from the king. Oh, the king could have devoured me. The king could have sent me to hell and been just. Oh, but thank God he called me to the palace one day and he called me to repentance and faith. And I just fell down and said, Lord, give me mercy. Hallelujah. And he did.
Amen.
And I'm not mad about it.
Amen.
I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. The Lord, I don't believe in a general atonement. I don't believe in saved by bunches. It's individual. He said, Mephibosheth. He said, yes, thy servant. He said, Chad Johnson.
Amen.
I said, finally, after he made me willing, yes, Lord, thy servant.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God.
Amen.
He had every right to kill Mephibosheth, but he couldn't because the covenant wouldn't let him.
Right. Amen.
He'd already made a covenant with Jonathan, and David was a good and honorable man. And he honored that covenant. He honored that covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said, "Behold thy servant." Verse 7, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." The everlasting power of the covenant. The Bible says in the book of John that He will give all those that believe on Him eternal life, and they shall never perish. Mephibosheth was not just making a temporary run at the palace, and then the first time he messed up, he was going to be kicked out on the street to eat with the beggars and the vagabonds and all that crowd out on the street. No, when the Lord put him at His table, when David put him there, He said he's going to be here continually. I'm glad, thank God, that perseverance of the saints. I told you all the doctrines of grace were there, that our salvation is a continual thing. The Lord set me down back yonder when He saved me at His table. He fed me the bread that I'm satisfied with. He gave me a drink of living water, and I'm continually going to be drinking it. It's everlasting life. It's eternal security. It's eternal salvation.
Amen. Amen.
The covenant is everlasting. The covenant is irreversible. That it's there. And when God saves you and puts you at His table, you'll be there till eternity ends.
Right.
Good news, it ain't going to end. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. He told him he was going to eat there continually. It's a continual thing. We see over here in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I don't have a dead hope today. I have a living hope. My hope is in Christ, and He's alive, and that's why that the covenant is forever, that it's an everlasting thing. I'll eat at the table continually because my Savior is eternal. It's impossible for an eternal God to do any kind of work that's not eternal. How could an eternal God do a temporal work? He doesn't do it that way. This is too deep for the Armenians, but the Baptists ought to be saying, "That's right, rejoicing in your soul." How long's it been since you got stirred in your soul over spiritual things? Oh, you can get stirred about the things of the world, or who's on this show, or who's on that, but I'm talking about the covenant that was made before us, before the foundation of the world. If those doctrines don't excite you and give you zeal and joy, something's wrong. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of dead sovereign grace, and I ain't talking about just shouting all the time, but you can't even talk to them about it. They say, "Well, that don't do much for me." You didn't get it like I did, is all I can tell you. The more I'm learning about it, it's sure making me get happy and rejoice and have joy in my soul. To an inheritance incorruptible. That means it'll never die and never see corruption. And undefiled that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. If you're saved, that inheritance and that eternal home in heaven is reserved. Your name is there. Who are kept by the power of the baptistry. Who are kept by the power of saying the sinner's prayer. Who are kept by turning over a new leaf. No, who are kept by the power of God. And that's why it's eternal, because it's all of grace. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Galatians chapter 4. You know what happened to Mephibosheth? The Bible talked about him eating at the king's table. The king, David, was basically made him a son.
That's right.
He made an outcast. What did Mephibosheth say after he saw that mercy extended to him? He said, "I can't believe that you would show that to a dead dog as I am." Anybody who's truly saved never feels like they were worthy, and they all feel like that they were like Paul, the chief of sinners.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Mephibosheth realized that, but see, he was made just like one of the sons of David. There's only two ways, Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7. There's only two ways that you can become a son. Either by birth or by adoption. God had one son by birth, and that was Jesus. But He's got a whole multitude that no man can number. We come in by adoption.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah! Amen. See, when somebody adopts somebody, if a man goes in an orphanage and he's going to adopt some of them, who does the deciding? The man doing the adopting takes those whom he... That doesn't make him a bad man that he doesn't adopt. You don't... If a man went into an orphanage and there's 100 orphans and he adopted 50 of them, anybody in their right mind wouldn't say, "That's sorry, unfair guy." Mm-hmm. He left 50. No, they'd say, "Did you hear what he did? He took 50 outcast orphans and took them home with him."
Amen.
I say that's what God did for us. He adopted us into the family of God, just like Mephibosheth. He was unworthy. We were unworthy. He was crippled. We were crippled. He was a dead dog. We were dead dog sinners. He was everything. He wasn't a part of David's lineage. We're not part of the lineage of Christ, spiritually or physically, as Gentiles. But He adopted a bunch of Gentile dogs like us in and grafted us into the house of God and the family. And if you're in the church, you're in the church. Too. God did all that for you, and
Amen.
You were nothing but an orphan.
Amen.
Like Mephibosheth, I'm sure he was sitting there. He said, "David, why do you want me? I mean, I'm crippled. I can't do nothing. I can't give you anything." And David said, "Yeah, but you can praise me and thank me." That's what See, when God got you and got me that are saved, He didn't get a bargain. Don't think He did. He lost out on the deal if anybody lost out. But I want to say that we were adopted, Galatians 4, verse 6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." See, we're made sons. We've been adopted into the family like Mephibosheth was. That's the only way you can get in.
Amen.
Is through a natural birth or adoption. And since God only had one, for God so loved the world that He gave His what? Only begotten Son. Unique. One of a kind. But I tell you what, all of us that are here, and see, Mephibosheth got there to the table, and he was sitting around and he was going to be there continually. He was going to be there forever. And the Bible also says, and our society will tell you, if you adopt a son, they've got just as much rights to your inheritance as your birth son. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because of adoption. See, He made us equal. Not that we're equal with Christ. He is the God. But the Bible does say that we're going to have a body like Him and that we're going to be an heir of God and we're going to be joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
In heaven, in the millennial kingdom, we'll rule and reign with Christ.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's a wonderful deal, a wonderful covenant that God made. And we can see it there in Mephibosheth, how that as He sat at the table, He was made a son of David and had all the rights that the rest of the family had.
Amen.
That's good, ain't it, Brother Duke?
Amen.
You say, "Why are you so happy?" How could I not be? Now, happiness does have to do with your surroundings. But my surroundings are pretty good right now. I mean, I've just read some wonderful things from the Bible. And my joy doesn't ever have to leave because my joy's in here.
Amen.
I don't believe we ever... I know David lost the joy of his salvation because of sin.
Right.
But I tell you why the joy of our salvation... Why we shouldn't lose it, because it does not matter what happens on this side. It can't affect what has happened in here.
Amen.
Because of the covenant.
Amen.
Because of the relationship. Oh, Mephibosheth, he didn't... I tell you what, Mephibosheth was a whole lot different by that evening than he was that morning, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, a radical change in his life. I tell you what, it really bothers me for... You know, I hear and stuff, you know, I'm not trying to be judgmental, but when I hear somebody get saved and God saves them, I'm glad for that, but I want to see fruit. Because we're told to look for fruit. It's not, well, look for it. No, he said you should expect fruit. Amen. Everybody that's truly saved will have some fruit. Amen. Some 20-fold, 30-fold, 100-fold. But see, every tree that's got life will put out fruit. Regardless if it's a fruit tree. The leaves are fruit. That's the fruit of that. A tree, a sycamore tree, might not put out any nuts, berries, grapes, fruit, but the leaves are the fruit. But if that tree doesn't have fruit on it, no leaves on it, it's dead.
That's right.
And I tell you, I'm very concerned, Brother Duke. So many people claim the name of Christ, but there is worldly and carnal and live like the world, listen to the world's music, watch the filth of the world, dress like the world. They're worldly all week and come to church and play it for 2 or 3 hours. I'm telling you, that's not the salvation. That's not the results of the covenant. If that's a way of life for you, then you're in bad shape.
Amen. Right. Amen.
I think some grace preachers are so scared that people call you an Armenian preaching works if you demand and preach that holiness ought to be and save people's life. That's not what makes you saved, but it's there because you are saved.
Amen.
And I know that's right. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. I see there that even when the Lord saves us, we still have that old nature to deal with. Mephibosheth was still lame. He still had to drag around that old man. And those of us that are saved, I had a boy tell me, y'all know him, I won't call his name. He said, I'm not saved. He was talking scripture with me, and you know, my discernment I seen right then wasn't too good. I figured he was saved. Man, I tell you what, he knew more Bible and had more than a lot of people who I knew had talked to it said they were saved, but he said, I'm not saved. I said, why not? He said, I still love sin. And I said, well, if that's what you're waiting on, I said, you'll love it after you're saved. Your old man will. Don't sit here and tell me y'all don't love sin. Your flesh would love to do it, everything, and you're capable of doing everything you did before the Lord saved you.
That's right.
The only difference is that it won't be as fun because the Spirit of God's there convicting you and drawing you back. But your flesh is still there.
Amen.
If you're waiting until I don't love sin, I tell you, you'll never come the time you don't love it. And if I see him again, I'm going to ask him what sins it is he loves. You like adultery? You like fornication? You want to drink? What is it you love? What sin do you love? But I want to tell you what, Mephibosheth ate there continually, but he was still lame on his feet. And when the Lord saves us, there's sometimes baggage, Brother Duke. We just have to drag all the way to the house.
That's right.
You say, preacher, I lived a terrible life before I was saved. The scars of the world are all over me. And they'll be on you till you get that glorified body.
That's right.
But forgetting those things that are behind, just keep pressing on toward the mark of the high calling.
Amen.
We all have to deal with our old nature because we're still lame. We're not made completely whole. Our salvation and positionally is there.
Right.
But this old man, that's why it's got to die or be changed in the rapture.
Right.
An Old Testament picture of the doctrines of grace. Thank you for your attention.